You know, when we're singing songs like that, I'd just be perfectly happy to listen to them all day. Amen? Amen. Wonderful stuff. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you, choir, for all that hard work. It was beautiful and a wonderful way to get our worship kicked off this morning. Also, I want to say thank you, Don, for the amplifier and getting that done this week. The sound is wonderful today. Thank you for that. It definitely makes a difference, and we're very appreciative. Today, we want to recognize Christ. We want to recognize Christ. That's what the message is entitled today, Recognizing Christ. You know, there are people who come in and out of your life, and maybe you met them at some point, and then later you see them and you don't recognize them. Maybe they're in a different setting. I used to, when I was in the military, I'd know people that knew me in uniform, and when they saw me in my civilian clothes, they'd say, "Oh, almost didn't recognize you without your clothes on. I had on clothes, just not the clothes they were expecting," right? So, but the point is, the recognizing, you got to recognize. And so Jesus had been preaching for over 3 years, right around 3 year mark. He had apostles that he had appointed, disciples of all kinds following him around. He preached and he went all over the place preaching and telling people about the gospel story, letting them know exactly what was going to happen. He had been proclaiming all of these things. Not only had he been proclaiming these, but also the scriptures foretold of the things that were going to happen. Yet on that day, when Jesus was crucified and put on the tree, and when he was brought down at the end of the time when he was dead, and he was placed into a tomb, all of those people who had been following him and were so excited about him suddenly were downtrodden. Because it's over. We thought it was going to be more than this, but instead it's over. Well, today I want you to know we celebrate the fact that Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. He is not still in that tomb. He is risen. He is not dead, but he is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Even now, this past week, I had an opportunity to sit down and talk with a young man, still elementary school age. And I was talking to him, and I said, "Do you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead?" He said, "Yes, and he's still alive today." I was so excited, because he was so excited to tell me that Jesus is still alive. He is not dead. He is risen. Today he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he is interceding on behalf of all those who call him Lord. He's interceding. "God, those are mine. It was my blood that paid the price for them. That one's mine. That one's mine. That one's mine. My blood covers all of their sins. All of the things we do wrong," Jesus is saying, "they're mine. I've already paid the price for those things. I've already done that. They belong to me." He's sitting at the right hand of God, and he's interceding on our behalf. What does that mean, he's interceding on our behalf? Well, you know, you ever needed a character witness when you signed up for something? You signed up and you were trying to get a job, and they said, "We need a character reference. We need a character reference." And so you put somebody on there, and they call, and they say, "Well, what do you think about old George?" "Yeah, he's all right. He's okay guy. No, I never knew him to do bad things. He seems to be a hard worker, da-da-da-da-da," right? That's what you're hoping they say. But then you're kind of holding your breath and hoping they don't tell about that other time that they know about, that you don't want anybody else to know about. Jesus is the character witness for us, but what Jesus said is, "No matter what they have done, my blood paid the price for all of it." And so when God looks down at us, Jesus says, "I paid the price for those." He's interceding on our behalf. The number one thing today is, do you know him? That's the number one thing today. People will attend services today all over the world. And for many of them, it's the only day of the year that they actually show up in church. It's the only day. They come because, you know what? That's what family does on Easter. They come because, well, you know, I just feel like it's something I should do. Maybe they come because they were raised in church, but they hadn't been there in a while. But, you know, it's Easter, and I probably should go. They go and do that. The number one thing today is this: do you know him? Because if you don't know him, if you don't know him, then you don't have hope. Well, hang on, what do you mean, preacher? If you don't know him, you don't have hope. Because if you don't know him, you are still lost in your sin. And if today is the last breath you take, if today is the last breath you take, you will not open your eyes in heaven. But instead, you will be paying the price for your sin. But Jesus said, I paid the price for your sin if you will simply accept me. So do you know him? You need to know that you know. Because we never know when the last moment's going to be. I had someone tell me just today. They said, preach this morning as if the crucifixion was yesterday. Preach this morning as if the resurrection was today. Preach this morning as if he's coming back tomorrow. Because the reality is he could be. We don't know when he will come back, but when he does, as soon as he is seen in that sky, it's too late for someone who has not given their life to him. So the number one thing that I want to say to you today is, do you know him? Do you know him? The disciples of Jesus during that day struggled after his crucifixion. They struggled after his crucifixion. They'd been following during all this time, even though he had told them what was going to happen when he died, in their earthly, fleshly minds, they could not fathom the fact that he would rise again. Death is final. We all know that. Death is final. There's no coming back. That's the end. But Jesus said, I will rise up again. The apostles had seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. They knew he could overcome the grave. But for himself, who's going to call Jesus out of the grave? It's over. So they struggled after the crucifixion. Not only was Jesus dead, whom they thought was going to be the next earthly king, but now they may come after him, after the rest of them. They're all in hiding. They're struggling because they don't understand. They don't know what is going to happen. Doubt and disappointment. That's what was overcoming them. Doubt and disappointment. Doubt. We know what he said, but it just doesn't seem possible. It just doesn't seem like something that could happen. You know, I want to believe, but when Lazarus came back, Jesus called him out. But who's going to call Jesus? Peter? Has Peter got that strength? Does he have that power to call Jesus out of the grave? Do one of the other apostles have that power? Who's going to call him out? So they had doubt, but they also had disappointment. They had also given up years of their life. They'd given up all that they had and followed Jesus. They'd been following him through hard times. They'd been following him through good times. But they'd been following him in times where now they knew the Roman government was trying to put an end to what he was teaching, and not the Roman government as much as his own people. The high priest was after him. All of the Sanhedrin was after him. They wanted him to stop preaching what he was preaching. So, of course, by connection, he was after the disciples, the apostles as well. So they had doubt, but they also had disappointment. Because here they thought, we're going to follow this thing, and one day he's going to be king, and we're going to be lifted up, and we don't have to worry about all this anymore. So a lot of that was going on. Look with me to Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. So I have here 21 through, 21 through 24. So I'll just give you a quick brief on the earlier part. That passage is what we were focusing on today. This was called the Road to Emmaus. And so these disciples, not the apostles, but disciples, were walking along the road. And as they walked along the road, a man came up to them and began to talk to them and said, what are you talking about? They said, are you the only one in Jerusalem that doesn't know what has happened here? That this this man Jesus, this prophet, this one that we thought was going to be a savior, he has been crucified and buried. He's been placed in the tomb. Are you the only one to know that, that doesn't know that? Here we are walking along this road. And verse 21 says, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. It's not changing, Don. There we go. But also some women among us left us bewildered when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And so some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said, but they did not see. Now, they were doubt, they were filled with doubt, and they were filled with disappointment. They were filled with disappointment because, number one, he was dead. Number two, they went to the tomb, and he's not there. For some, they thought the Romans had taken him away, that someone had taken his body where they didn't know where it was. And so they were disappointed. They said, these women came and said, he's not there. And indeed, he is not there. We don't know what to think about that. We don't have any idea. Well, just like some of the disciples, we struggle with doubt today. Well, what do you mean? Well, for many of us, we came to know Jesus when we were little people. Maybe we were in vacation Bible school, or we were in elementary school going to children's church, or maybe our Sunday school teacher helped to lead us, or maybe our parents. Someone maybe led us to the Lord when we were younger, and we've come through life and we faced disappointments. We faced struggles. We faced all of the things of life, and we begin to wonder if Jesus is real and if I've really given my life to him and all of this is happening, why is all of the evil going on in the world today? Why are all the hard times happening? Why is it that I can't seem to get ahead? Everything that happens, it seems like I get knocked down again. If Jesus is really alive, why hasn't he come back? Why hasn't he come back? Because look at the world. It's a terrible place. It's full of evil. Why hasn't it come back? Some of us today, just like disciples, we begin to wonder. We begin to have doubt. These disciples and apostles of Jesus, they heard him. They saw the miracles. They watched the things that he did. Peter even walked on the water with him. And yet still they had doubt that what he said was going to be true. Sometimes even today, those who know him have doubt. They struggle. They say, well, I know I called upon Jesus' name, but I'm just struggling with all this today. I don't know. I want to know, and the world is saying, listen, it's not true. It's not true. It's just a made-up story that somebody who couldn't come up with a logical explanation made up the story. And they said this, but it's not true. So the world's saying it's not true. You're struggling with things going on in your life. The devil starts twisting things around in your mind, and pretty soon you're wondering. You're struggling with doubt. Well, I want you to understand, even the disciples struggle with doubt. They struggle with doubt. But if you're struggling with doubt, even today, maybe you're struggling with doubt whether or not you should accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Maybe you're saying, I know that I have people that are telling me that Jesus is the only way to heaven. I know that people are telling me that he is the Son of God. I know that people are telling me that he was buried and raised on the third day. I know that people are telling me he is alive today. I know that they're telling me that, but the world's telling me other things, and so I'm just not sure I can trust that. I'm struggling. Well, I want you to think about this. How do we know scriptures were fulfilled? Scriptures were fulfilled. Look at verses 25 through 27. 25 through 27. And then he said to them, you foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to come into his glory? Beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things written about himself in all the scriptures. The scriptures were fulfilled. Listen, if this was just a story made up by men, then how could it be that scriptures written hundreds of years prior came to fulfillment 100 years later or more? How is it that these things that were written about way before the time that Jesus was even born came to pass in exactly how the prophets had said. The scriptures were fulfilled. If it's true, the scriptures are fulfilled. How much more do you need to know that? These things happened. It was fulfilled. God is alive. Jesus is alive. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. The disciples knew these things. Jesus told them they had come to call him the Son of God. Yet still they were experiencing doubt. They were still struggling because the things that they saw in their earthly eyes were taking away from the faith that they should have had to overcome it. How do we overcome that? How do we get past that? With these scriptures fulfilled, knowing all of this, and knowing that the disciples still also had doubt, then I want you to think about this. Our biggest doubt buster is to understand that scripture is true. That's the biggest doubt buster. That's the biggest thing. Somebody says, well, if I could see it with my eyes, I would believe it. If I could see Jesus literally walking on water, I would believe that he was the Son of God. If I could see Jesus doing the miracles that he did when he was alive, then I would believe. If I could see all that, listen, you can. How can you see it? You can see it through scripture. You can see it through a secondhand event. You know what? We'll turn on the news every night, and everything they say on the news we believe is true. I didn't see whatever happened. I didn't see what was going on, but the news said it happened. And I believe that it's a secondhand thing. They told me. The Bible is even more directly true than that. It wasn't spun to be some political view. It wasn't spun to be what would be more dynamic. It wasn't spun to be more exciting. It was just the truth. God's word. So the biggest doubt buster is for you to understand that scripture is true. That scripture is true. Well, here's the problem with that. First of all, you have to read the scripture. First of all, you have to read the scripture. If you want to know, is this true? You want to do away with the doubts that you have in your mind. First of all, read the scripture. Pardon me. Don't believe what somebody else just tells you. Well, preacher, isn't that what you're doing today? You're just standing up there telling us? No. I'm standing up here telling you, but I'm also telling you go to scripture and read it for yourself. Don't trust me. Don't trust that what I'm telling you is true. Go find it yourself. That's how you bust that doubt. That's how you come to a place where you understand. You read the scriptures. You understand what is there. All I'm doing is guiding you. Sometimes we just need a reminder. Sometimes we need a reminder. What do I mean by that? That sometimes we need a reminder. Well, look at verses 30 through 31. And it came about when he had reclined at the table with them that he took the bread and blessed it, and he broke it and began giving it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. He vanished from their sight. The disciples were reminded of Jesus. They were reminded of Jesus. As he sat there before them and broke the bread and gave it to them, it was reminiscent of the Last Supper. Suddenly they went, oh, now I know. I've seen you. Now the burning in my heart that I felt, now I understand it. Now I realize who you are, that you're Jesus. That you're Jesus. And as soon as they recognized him, he vanished. Isn't that an incredible thing to realize? Sometimes the disciples just needed, everybody needs to be reminded. The disciples were reminded when they saw it. For believers, when doubt creeps in, we need a reminder. Let me ask you this. How many of you, if I asked you today, could stand up and give me a testimony of anything that God has done in your lifetime? Anybody could give me a testimony of anything God had done? Anybody? I'm not asking you to do it today. I'm just asking, could you? Most all of us that know Jesus could step back and say, you know what? I remember when this happened. I remember how Jesus did this in my life. I know how I was a sinner, lost in my sin, and Jesus saved me. I can remember those things. Well, if you can go back and remember those things, when you're doubting, go back and remember. Go back to the beginning. Anybody ever been on a, getting ready to go on a trip? Or maybe even been walking in the woods and you realize, you know what, I'm kind of lost. I'm not exactly sure where I'm going. Well, how am I going to find where I'm going? You know, the best thing to do is go back to where you started. Go back to where you started. You make your way back to where you started, you get a fresh perspective and you start over again. For believers, that's exactly what we need to do. Go back to where we started. If we get lost, we start struggling with doubt, we start struggling with all that's going on and we're trying to figure it out, doubt's creeping in, we need a reminder. Go back to where it started. I had a pastor tell me one time, listen, tell me about when you received Jesus. Now, hold on before you tell me. Don't tell me what mom and dad said. Don't tell me the story mom and dad tell about you receiving Christ. Don't tell me the story your buddy tells about receiving Christ. Tell me what you experienced on that day. Tell me what you experienced. For me, it was easy. My mom and dad weren't there. They weren't there. Tell me what you experienced on that day. I can tell you for me, I was a young man, only 10 years old. And I was sitting way towards the back of the sanctuary, which was unusual. I usually sat right in the front with my grandfather. But on that day, I was sitting in the back with my friends. And as the pastor preached, I couldn't even tell you what he said because I wasn't hearing the pastor. I was hearing the Lord speak to me. And the Lord said, you are a sinner in need of a Savior. I want to be that Savior. All you have to do is give your life to me. And the pastor was preaching, and all I could think of was, would you please hurry up and open the invitation? I thought I was going to get up before he finished. He finally finished. He bowed his head and started to pray. And when he opened his eyes to open the invitation, I was standing in front of him. He looked down. I said, I need to get saved. He said, okay. He came right down. I remember that very vividly. There was a time when I was really doubting and really uncertain in my life. And that pastor said, what do you remember? When I went back to remember what happened that day, I had no doubt. I gave my life to Christ. Had I strayed and struggled? Had I gotten off task? Had I got a little out of the way where I shouldn't be? Absolutely. Doubt had creeped in and I had gotten away. But when I went back to the beginning, when I got that reminder of what Jesus did for me, I was very aware. How has God worked in our lives in the past? I said, can you give a testimony of anything that God's done in your life? How has God worked in your life in the past? Someone said, well, how do you know God is real? Well, I can tell you God is real because I can tell you what he's done for me. And nobody can argue with that and say you're not right because that's my story. I'm telling you what he did for me. I can give you that testimony. This is what he did for me. God has worked in our lives in the past. And if God has worked in our lives in the past and we go back and look at that, then we can bust all that doubt. We can start driving it back to a place where it needs to be. The apostles were lost. They were struggling with doubt. They were struggling with disappointment and everything that was going on there because Jesus had not shown up. Jesus had died and they hadn't seen him. Well, if you have never met him, Scripture fulfilled opens your eyes. Look at verse 32 through 36. They said to one another, were our hearts not burning within us when he was speaking to us on the road while he was explaining the scriptures to us? And they got up that very hour, returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and those who were with them, saying, the Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon. They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them at the breaking of the bread. Now, while they were telling these things, Jesus himself suddenly stood in their midst and said to them, peace be to you. Scripture was fulfilled that he would be crucified, but on the third day he would rise from the dead. The apostles even were hiding in the room, uncertain of what had happened. But when the other disciples had a reminder of what had gone on, and Jesus spoke to them, and they remembered all these things and how he taught them before, they immediately ran and said, "He's alive! We know he's alive!" And while they're telling the apostles that he's alive, Jesus showed up. Do you know this? When you start telling people your experiences about Jesus, he shows up. He shows up. He's there, and he can touch hearts and lives, but you need to be sharing it to start with. You need to be the one sharing, because it's the fulfillment of these scriptures that help them. When they recognized him, they were moved. When the disciples recognized him, they didn't sit there and say, "Wow, can't believe Jesus." They jumped up and took it, says they ran. They ran to go tell the apostles about it because they recognized him. Excited. They were moved into action. They were moved to do something about it. When we recognize Christ, we all should be moved. Most of the time we are when we accept Jesus. Initially, we're moved. We want to tell everybody about it. We want to tell our friends. We want to tell our parents. We want to tell our loved ones. We want to share with everybody how Jesus saved me. We want to tell them all about that as time goes on. Suddenly, we quit moving. We quit doing. We stop telling. Once a year, we celebrate the Resurrection Sunday. We celebrate Resurrection Sunday. And it's a fresh reminder of what Jesus did for us. It should be a fresh boost to get us moving again. To get us moving again, that's what it should be. I'm stuck again, Don. You can hear a story 100 times. You can hear a story 100 times. But until you recognize, it never moves you. You can hear a story 100 times, but until you recognize, it never moves you. For many of us, if we think back, how many times did we hear the gospel story before we finally accepted Jesus? George Mueller talks about praying for someone over 40 years, and he even died still not knowing that they would ever accept Jesus, but he'd been praying for them the whole time, and after all those years, they finally came to know Christ. You can hear it today on the television. You can see it on the internet. You can read it in Scripture. You can have a friend tell you all about it, and still, you haven't been moved. You can read a story over and over and over, but until it moves you, it doesn't change you. The gospel story changes people. Is it going to always change them the very first time they hear it? Unfortunately, no. Unfortunately, no. Sometimes the gospel story is told, and you're so excited because you're telling the story, and you're waiting at the end for them to accept Jesus. Perhaps you've experienced this. I learned how to witness to somebody. Right? It was hard. You're supposed to tell them how you came to know Jesus. But there were some steps. And at the end of that, then you say, "Now, are you ready to accept Jesus as your Savior?" Some of the first times I did that, they said, "No." I was crushed. What did I do wrong? How did I mess that up? I really thought I did everything perfectly. The next time I talked to somebody, I thought I messed everything up. And I said, "Would you like to accept Jesus as your Savior?" "Yes, I would." "Really?" You know what the difference is? They were moved because the Holy Spirit was involved. The Holy Spirit moved them. You can hear it 100 times, but until you recognize Jesus, you're never going to move. Just as the disciples recognized, do you know him today? The disciples had to recognize, again, Jesus. They saw him. He stepped into the room, and they recognized him. They understood who he was. They understood that what he had been telling them about the crucifixion and the resurrection was true. He just walked in alive again after having spent 3 days in the tomb. Other parts of the scripture say he even asked for something to eat, and he ate it. Probably not necessarily because he was hungry, but to prove to them he wasn't a ghost. They could touch him. He said, "Touch me." They could touch him. They could see him. He was there, but he suddenly appeared there. The disciples recognized him. They understood what he said was true, and it ignited them. Today, we know the story. We don't have to wonder, is he going to come back out of the grave? Today, we know, hallelujah, he is risen. We don't have to worry about that. We don't have to wonder. We have the advantage over the disciples. We know he was resurrected from the grave. Just as the disciples recognized, the question I have for you is, do you know him? Do you know him? Have you ever taken an opportunity? Has the Holy Spirit ever touched you and you gave your life to Christ? Have you ever done that? Now, only you can answer that. Your parents can't answer it. Your best friend can't answer it. Nobody can answer it but you. Have you done it? You see, as far as we know, Jesus is coming back tomorrow. And if he does, are you ready? Have you done it? Have you given your life to him? Well, yes, preacher, I've done that. I'm certain. Are you sure? I'm absolutely certain. You know Jesus. Yes, I do. I know Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. I'm so excited for you. Go and tell. Hold up. Wait a minute now. Yeah, I know him, but I don't know if I'm ready to go and tell. Why not? Do you know him? Well, yeah. Then why don't you want to go and tell? Go and tell. What about that neighbor across the street? They're bad people. They're just horrible people. They're terrible people. They do terrible things, and I really don't want to be around them. So what you're telling me is they're bad people, and they do horrible things. So what do you think would change that? Maybe if they came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you don't go tell them, what do you think is going to happen to them if they died tomorrow? So if you know him, how much do you hate them not to go tell them? I mean, that's the basic, break it down. That's pretty much how it is. If I know the answer and I'm not going to tell you, how much do I hate you not to tell you? God said, go and tell. That's what Jesus' last commandment, the greatest commandment, that's what he told us, to go and tell. Just like the disciples, once we recognize, go and tell. Go and tell. Well, I don't know if I know exactly how to do that. Just tell your experience. Just tell about you. I stood here today and I told you about when I was 10 years old, how, you know what I just did? I just gave you my testimony. I just shared Jesus with you. I just told you how I know him and how you too can come to know him in just that little story. That's all you have to do. Once you recognize Jesus, go and tell. And if you've drifted away and you've kind of gotten into some doubt and some disappointment, go back to the beginning. Recognize him again. Understand he still loves you just like he did the very first time you met him. Go and tell. The greatest message today is this: he is alive. Spread the word. He is alive. He is not dead. He is not in that grave. He is alive. Tell people that. Share that story, that gospel story. Listen, this is not an old story that ends in a sad note. He's alive. Jesus died and rose again so you could have salvation. If he died and he never rose again, it would be a pitiful thing. But he rose again. Why? So you could have salvation. So you can have salvation. Every one of you. Salvation from what? Salvation from death in the grave. Salvation from eternal separation of God. Salvation from all of those things that are terrible in life. You can have salvation. You can be saved into the heavenly realm with Jesus. So the question that I have for you here today, for you here today, for you and you and you and you and you and you and you, for every one of you, for the ones that are here today and the ones that may be watching online, this is the question. Have you received that salvation today? Have you received it? It's pretty simple. Either you have or you haven't. There's no in between. There's no, well, sort of. No sort of. Well, halfway. There's no halfway. Either you have or you hadn't. One or the other. There's no in between. Can't have one foot in and one foot out. Have you received that salvation today? Only you can answer that question. Only you can answer that question. Listen, if I could, I would receive salvation for every single person that I ever met or that I ever thought about or that anybody ever told me about. I would receive salvation for every single person in all the world if I could and give them that salvation. Jesus died on the cross and he shed his blood that paid the price for our sin. He was buried and on the third day he overcame the grave. He walked in where the apostles were. He showed himself to them. He revealed himself. He said, see, touch right here. Put your fingers in this nail scar. Touch my body. See where the crown was pressed into my skull. See, it's me. But I'm no longer in the grave. I'm alive today. And I'm alive for you. I'm alive for you. Jesus said, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Jesus stands with open arms today, arms stretched out wide. And he says, will you receive? I died for every single one, from the worst of sinners to the greatest of the saints. I died for everyone. Will you receive that today? You can do that, but only you. I can't do it. Nobody else can do it, only you. But you have that opportunity. You know how I know? You're still breathing. You're still here today. You have that opportunity. Again, the question is, have you ever done that?